Titled Empowered, and this morning's message is titled The Benefit. You know, in Acts Today, Ralph Harris, he tells the story of a woman named Grace Carroll who was attending a revival service in the Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, and she remained at the altar long after the service had been dismissed, feeling a burden to pray for members of her family in Texas. And she began to pray in tongues for a prolonged period of time. And after the burden to pray had lifted from her, she noticed a small dark-haired woman kneeling next to her, just crying profusely, tears running down her cheeks. And the woman tried to say something to her in broken English. And Grace asked, "Are you wanting me to pray for your family, honey?" And the woman replied, "You don't understand. You were praying for my family in the Croatian language. You called their names. You called the villages in which they live. You called places that I know very well. You were praying for those that were sick and those that were dying and so on." And Grace thought she was praying for her family all along, but her prayers were reaching around the world, touching the lives of this woman's family. One of the greatest blessings of the Pentecostal experience is the gift of tongues. The supernatural ability to pray and worship in languages that we have not learned before. And today, as I said, is the day of Pentecost, and we're going to read about what happened when the Spirit was first poured out upon the church and what God continues to do as He is still pouring out His Spirit today. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You see, speaking in tongues is a gift from God that we receive when we get filled with the Spirit, or when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a supernaturally given ability to speak in languages that we have not previously learned. It didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost that we just read about, where the 120 in the upper room got filled and spoke with other tongues, but there are several more instances throughout the book of Acts where individuals and even large groups of people, even an entire city on one occasion, got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. In Acts 19, we read of one of those occasions where Paul met some believers in a city called Ephesus, and his first question to them when he met them was, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We've not even heard whether there be any such thing as the Holy Spirit." And he began to teach them about the Holy Spirit, and then he prayed for them, and they all began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. And this event occurred almost 20 years after the first event that we just read about in Acts chapter 2. And the Spirit continues to be poured out on believers today. Now, unfortunately, because of a lack of understanding, this blessing is often neglected, and its full benefit fails to be experienced in the life of many believers. In fact, another question that was submitted for the Ask the Pastors forum, I'd like to address at this moment. The question was, do we need to speak in tongues to go to heaven? And I've often answered that, and I said, no, we don't need to speak in tongues to go to heaven, but we need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost if we're going to stay on earth for any length of time, because it is the power to be the people God is calling us to be and to do the work that God is calling us to do. To ask, do we need to speak in tongues to go to heaven, would be akin to asking, do I need to learn anything to graduate from high school? Well, the fact of the matter is, every year, there are quite a number of people that graduate from high school without learning much. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How do you think that that affects their life on a day-to-day basis? Don't you think that they are lacking much of the academic skill and knowledge that they need to succeed and thrive in life? Well, when we say, do I need to speak in tongues to go to heaven, we are in effect saying, I'm really not interested about how well I live my life here on earth for Christ. I just want to make sure my ticket is punched so that when it comes my time, I can go to heaven. But as Christians, our heart should be to live our life here on this earth to the fullest of what God has called us to be. And in order to do that, Jesus himself said we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So do you want to argue with Jesus? Because if we really love Jesus, then the heart that we have is to surrender to him in everything that he says. Yes. If you love me, keep my commandments. And one of his commandments was, wait until you receive power from on high. Yes. So if we truly have a heart to love the Lord and please him, then we should have a heart to desire everything he says we need. And if we don't have that heart, then maybe we need to go back and check our relationship with the Lord. I love you, whoever submitted this question, but if you want an honest answer, that's the honest answer. Amen? The sign of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that we will speak in other tongues. And then instead of asking, do we need to speak in tongues to go to heaven, we should be asking, why don't I desire everything that God wants to give me and everything he says I need? And the question that we're going to address today is, why speak in tongues? Why speak in tongues? Surely there must be a valid spiritual reason, or God would not have instituted this as the gift as the sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, nor would he have established it as one of the gifts of the Spirit which he sets in the church. Jesus said in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall speak with other tongues. So Jesus spoke of tongues as a normative experience for every believer. Every believer, according to Jesus, is supposed to be speaking in tongues. It wasn't some obscure experience practiced in a hidden corner somewhere. Jesus obviously placed great value upon speaking in tongues. Paul also placed high value on speaking in tongues, even going so far to declare of his own life, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. And he encouraged believers to regularly pray in the Spirit and with the understanding, and to worship in the Spirit and with the understanding. Every time we pray, we should pray in the Spirit and with the understanding. And we should worship in the Spirit and with the understanding. All of God's gifts are given for a purpose, and all are meant to bring a certain benefit to our lives and to the church. And there are definite benefits and purposes in speaking in tongues. We need to understand what these purposes are, what the benefits are that speaking in tongues brings to our life, and why God wants each and every one of us to pray in the Spirit regularly. Amen. Folks, God wouldn't give us a gift if we didn't need it. Amen. God wouldn't give us a gift if we didn't need it. So let's let the scriptures speak, and let us receive with an open heart. Amen. With an open heart, all that God desires for us in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in particular, today we're going to be looking at the blessing of speaking in tongues. And the first thing we're going to look at, and we've touched it in some of the other messages, is that praying in tongues is a sign. In Mark 16:17, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall speak with other tongues. Tongues is a universal and timeless sign that someone has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The biblical meaning of the word sign is something that authenticates or accredits a person's experience or teaching. Speaking in tongues authenticates or verifies the fact that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we have received this wonderful promise of the Father. That we have been endued with supernatural power from on high. It attests to the church that the believer has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. For instance, in Acts chapter 8, Philip had been ministering in a city in Samaria. And almost the entire city believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and was water baptized. But the scripture says, as of yet, none of them had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to pray for them. And after they prayed for them, it says, and they all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, except for a man named Simon the sorcerer. How could they one minute say, none of them had received, and the next minute say, they all had received? Well, if you read on in that story, the man named Simon, who was a sorcerer, who had bewitched the entire city for some time with deceptive miracles of darkness, when he sees the disciples have the power to lay hands on people, and give them this gift in effect, he offers them money. He wants to pay them so he can have the same power. And Peter says to him, your money perish with you, because your heart is not right, you have no lot or no part in this matter. He's saying you can't participate in this matter. And the word matter there is the Greek word logion, which speaks of a verbal expression or word. So it's obvious that it was some kind of verbal manifestation that Simon was trying to purchase, but his heart was not right. And Peter said, you can't participate in this. Your money perish with you. You're lost. You can't have a part of this, because this wonderful gift is only for those who have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Acts chapter 10, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And Peter had to go there pretty much with his arm twisted by God. You know, God had to give him 3 visions from heaven about eating unclean animals. And then Peter still didn't get it. He kept saying, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And then a group of Gentiles come and knock on his door. And God said, let me make this plain to you. There's going to be a bunch of Gentiles knocking on your door. I want you to go with them. And I want you to preach the gospel. Because Peter didn't think Gentiles could be saved. He thought that salvation was only for the Jews. So he goes there and he's preaching the gospel reluctantly, because he doesn't think they can be saved. Well, as he's preaching the gospel, he doesn't even give an altar call yet. And Cornelius and his entire household, approximately 70 people it's estimated, immediately get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in other tongues. And Peter and the 6 Jewish brothers that are with him, they're kind of shocked. But then they say, you know what? If God saw fit to give them the same gift that he gave us at the beginning, for we hear them speak in tongues just like we did, then who are we to say that they're not saved? Who are we to keep them from being water baptized? What confirmed, what attested to the fact that God had indeed saved Gentiles is the fact that he had filled them with the Spirit, and Peter and his friends heard them speak with other tongues. Tongues is a sign. And in Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was not only a sign to the believers that they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but folks, it was a sign to the unsaved crowd of thousands that had gathered. Because folks, tongues is not just a sign for believers, but Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that it is also a sign to unbelievers. How is it a sign to unbelievers if they can't understand what's being said? Well, it's a sign to unbelievers that something is taking place here that is unusual, that is out of the ordinary, out of the natural, and they are cut off from it. It is a sign that they are cut off from God. God uses it to grasp their attention and then have the word ministered to them in a language that they can understand, even as he did on the day of Pentecost. So it is a sign. It is a sign. It is an important sign. It is a sign that every believer who has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost experienced in the book of Acts and continues to experience today. And it has been the experience of every believer who throughout the ages has entered into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And as we said, tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. It's a sign signaling the supernatural is present and that the unbeliever is cut off from it, is cut off from God, cannot understand it. And it arouses hardened hearts and captivates the unbeliever's attention, even as it did on the day of Pentecost, when the 120, this noisy bunch, were all speaking in tongues, a crowd of thousands gathered, and they became curious, and they begin to ask, what does this mean? Of course, some made fun and said they must all be drunk. And you always have 2 groups. But you know what? It's not a reason to stop speaking in tongues. And it's not a reason, as some churches have done, to say if you want to speak in tongues, do it privately in your home or do it over here in some small group, because we're missing the point that the work of the Holy Spirit is evangelistic. Even tongues is evangelistic. It arouses hardened hearts. It captures their attention, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. And it is a sign that confirms the truth of the gospel. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, what you're seeing and hearing is proof that Jesus is no longer dead, but he has risen from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. It is an affirmation of the truth of the gospel. Amen. Praying in tongues is not only a sign, but praying in tongues is personally edifying. Praying in tongues is healing and restorative. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 14 that when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. Unless, of course, it's a message for the body that is then accompanied by interpretation. But that's the gift of tongues as opposed to our personal prayer language, which we receive when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. They both sound the same, but they're different in purpose. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that when we pray in tongues individually, that we edify our spirit, we edify ourselves. And one of the meanings of the word edify is to restore and to repair. When we pray in tongues, God is touching our spirit and He is bringing restoration and healing to our soul. Why? Because the trials of this life can be draining. Life can sometimes beat us up spiritually and emotionally and mentally. But as we pray in the Spirit, our inner man is being healed and is being restored. Hallelujah! That's why I need to pray in tongues every day. That's why Paul said, every time I pray in the Spirit and with the understanding. Praying in tongues is healing and restorative. And praying in tongues builds us up spiritually. It strengthens us. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Another meaning of the word edify means to build up or to strengthen. And in Jude 1:20, the scripture says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in tongues. That's what that phrase means. The more we speak in tongues, the stronger our spirit man becomes. When we have a strong spirit man, we can overcome the trials and difficulties of life better than when we're trying to do it in our own strength. Because we are weak in ourselves. Folks, those two reasons alone are reason sufficient for me to say I want to speak in tongues. I need to speak in tongues. Amen?
Amen.
And it should be reason enough for you to say, I need to speak in tongues. And we should be speaking in tongues every single day. It's not something we should put up on the shelf and only pull it out on occasion. Every single day, so that we can be restored, so that we can be healed emotionally and mentally and spiritually, and so that we can be strengthened in our inner man. And then thirdly, praying in tongues reminds us that God's presence is with us. That God's presence is with us. In John 14, verses 16 through 17, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, neither does it know him. But you know him, for he is with you and shall be in you. Praying in tongues is a tangible experience of God's presence with us. See, what Jesus was saying is the Spirit had been living with the disciples because the Spirit had been anointing Jesus. So the Spirit was with them as a sign of God's presence there, of God's kingdom there. But he says that which has been with you in a few days is going to be living in you. A tangible experience of God's presence with us. You know, in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had been arrested and threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, they returned to their own group from the upper room and they held another prayer meeting. And after the fearful and threatening experience that they had just had, they needed a confirmation and assurance that God was with them. And as they prayed, the confirmation came in a fresh way as the entire place where they were gathered was shaken by the presence of God. And the scripture says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. As they prayed, God confirmed to them that He was with them. It was a witness to them that God's presence was with them. And it gave them boldness to keep on preaching the gospel despite the threat that had been brought against them. Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, I will go with you, confirming your words with signs and wonders following. How would he go with us? Through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When Peter and John and the group in the upper room were refilled with the Holy Spirit, it was a confirmation to them that Jesus was present with them, that God was present with them, that God was still working through them, and it gave them the strength and boldness they needed to continue to do what God had called them to do in the face of persecution. How we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Because we do not yet, and I say yet, face the persecution that they faced in the New Testament church. But some of us, we just get made fun of. Or somebody withdraws from us because we're a Christian. And we decide we're not going to talk about Jesus anymore. How would we have done in days like that when you could lose your life for preaching the gospel? Folks, we need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Right.
We need it more today than we've ever needed it.
Right.
Because there is coming a day of persecution.
Yeah.
Right here.
Right.
In this land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to see, you'll see if the Supreme Court rules in favor of gay marriage. And one of the Supreme Court justices already argued it in the briefs. If you read the transcript, he said this is going to destroy freedom of religion in the United States. It can cause pastors, folks, to end up being arrested if they refuse to perform a marriage for a gay couple. It can take away the tax-exempt status of churches. Justice Kennedy said all of this before the Supreme Court. It's not something I'm making up. I read the transcripts. It can take away the tax exemption of a church, which means that you could no longer claim your giving, and the church would have to start paying taxes, which would bankrupt many of our churches. I mean, the consequences of this are incredible. Christian colleges, which would not allow a gay couple to house together in their dormitories, could be shut down. I'm telling you, there is a time of persecution coming upon this land. You already see the spirit of Antichrist in the hostility against Christianity that has really become evident in the past several years, because it is being promoted from the very highest levels. In fact, our president just recently said, and it angered a lot of Christian leaders, but he said at a meeting of the foremost Christian leaders in the United States, the church needs to quit focusing on divisive issues like gay marriage and abortion and just start helping the poor. If they do that, a lot more people would come to church. So basically, just put your beliefs on the shelf.
And be quiet.
And be quiet. And be a charity. Be a charity. You see, this hostility against Christianity is coming from the very highest level. And you're going to see a wave of persecution in this nation. And if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, if we get afraid when somebody makes fun of us for standing up for Jesus, how are we going to stand when it means persecution, when it means losing our job?
Yay. Amen.
Recently, it has cost some Christians their businesses. They've had to close down their businesses. How are we going to stand in these last days if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit? Praying in tongues is a tangible confirmation of our relationship with God as our Father. A Catholic friend of mine from work several years ago, I had come to Christ, and I invited her to a Pentecost Sunday service at the church that I was serving in at that time in Miami. And God really had to deal with her heart to come, because she had never gone to any other church but the Catholic Church, what have you. But God touched her and she came. And she had come from an abusive past. And she had gone through a nervous breakdown, had a very difficult life, still had a lot of emotional, mental problems. And even though she accepted Christ, she always questioned God's love for her because of all the things that had happened in her life. And I remember that morning when she came to the altar on that Pentecost Sunday, and God gloriously baptized her in the Holy Ghost, and she began speaking in other tongues. First of all, she had this surprised look like, wow, what on earth is this? But she immediately grabbed my neck and the neck of the lady that was praying with her, began to choke us, screaming as she jumped up and down, "He loves me! He really loves me! Hallelujah!" It was a confirmation of her relationship with God. And folks, being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues is a wonderful confirmation of our relationship with God. And then fourthly, praying in tongues enables us to have a spirit-filled prayer and worship life. Praying in tongues is God's spirit praying through our spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying." Not my mind. my spirit. In fact, medical tests have been done that have mapped brain activity during praying in tongues. And there is no brain activity. Unlike Catholics praying, unlike monks chanting, unlike other religions where the brain is very active. But science has said that there is no brain activity when you're praying in tongues. Why? Because it is God's spirit touching our spirit, praying through us. Hallelujah. It's bypassing the natural human limitations and weaknesses of my thoughts. And my spirit is being brought into direct communion with God.
Yes.
His spirit touching my spirit.
Yes.
And praying through me what he wants to pray.
Yes. Yes.
Praying in tongues empowers our prayer life. If you've ever felt inadequate in prayer, and that should be all of us.
Yes.
This is the reason that praying in tongues is so important. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, 26 and 27. He says, likewise, the spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he goes on to say how the Spirit prays according to the mind of God. Notice what he says. He says, we do not know how to pray. We. Paul included himself. Paul was a great man of God. But with the word we, he includes all of us. There's no super spiritual giant in here that says, I pray better than anybody else. I don't really need God's help. I know how to pray. I've got it all together. No, Paul says, we all don't know how to pray. We are all weak in this area. We don't know how to pray effectively without the Spirit's help. And praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues overcomes the weakness of our flesh in prayer. The Holy Spirit strengthens our determination to pray. As Jesus agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat drops of blood, his disciples snored. He called them to pray with him. And he's there agonizing on this most critical night of his entire life and ministry. And they're there sleeping. That wouldn't describe any of us as we have set out to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, could you not watch and pray with me even 1 hour? And he went back to praying and he came back again. And he found them sleeping again. And he said, couldn't you watch and pray with me 1 hour? And they're like, oh, yeah. And he goes back to praying and he comes back a third time. And he finds them sleeping again. Folks, we are weak in prayer. Jesus said it. He said, the spirit is willing. Our human spirit is willing. We want to pray, but the flesh is weak. Now, that was the group of followers, the group of his disciples before Pentecost. Now, after Pentecost, every chapter in the book of Acts show them praying or mentions prayer. They became a prayer powerhouse because of the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit strengthens our determination to pray. Folks, I've said it before. When I set out to pray in myself, I pray 5-10 minutes. I've prayed out just about everything I know how to pray. But I start praying in the Holy Spirit and it just begins to flow. And I can stay for hours just praying in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only strengthens our determination, the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to pray. Galatians 4:6, it says, God has sent forth the Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There is a cry of the Spirit that rises within us, a cry of prayer. Folks, let's be honest. There are times when praying is the last thing your flesh wants to do. If you've never felt that, then reach up and polish your halo. Because it's just real.
That's right.
It happens. There are times when you feel as dead as a stump. Hello?
That's right.
But praying in the Spirit overcomes that weakness, that apathy, that indifference of the flesh. It overcomes that lifelessness that is within us. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says that I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. I like that he put the Spirit first. Because
yes.
When we pray in the Spirit, he begins to touch our mind. He begins to touch our heart. And we begin to find our spirits awakening. We begin to find our spirits opening up to God. When we pray with the Spirit's inspiration, our souls begin to be lifted. And we experience a freedom to come into God's presence and to pray and to worship. Now with our understanding, once we have prayed in the Spirit, there becomes an openness inside of us. Before we were all bound up with the concerns, with the hurts, with the thoughts, with the worries of the world. But once we start to pray in the Spirit, our soul begins to be lifted into the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Hallelujah. One of the greatest blessings and privileges God has given us. Folks, don't put it on a shelf. Don't discount it. Don't say, do I need it? Say, God, thank you for giving it to me. Hallelujah. And praying in tongues enables us to pray in line with God's will.
Yes, Lord, I love you.
Sometimes situations are so complicated and difficult that we don't even really know how to pray about it. Ever faced a situation like that? And sometimes there are battles being waged in the spirit realm that we are not even aware of. And the intercession of the Spirit averts dangers, attacks of the enemy, and problems that we didn't even know were coming our way.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Sometimes there are needs in the kingdom of God that we don't even have knowledge of. That we don't even have knowledge of. But the Holy Spirit will reveal it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I'm telling you that several years ago, I went on a ministry trip. And while I was in the hotel room, I cannot explain it, but there was this spiritual oppression in this room and just this attack of the enemy. And I was just praying. And it was like, in my mind, it was like the enemy, but it was like men just had come around me and were beating me up, but it was taking place in the spirit realm. And I was just praying and I was interceding in tongues and I had the Bible out in front of me and I was claiming the promises of God. And this went on for well over an hour. And finally, this oppression broke. When I came back home, Miss Annette, how many of you know she's a prayer warrior? She came up to me after the service and she said, Pastor, what was going on when you were out of town? She said, because I had such a burden to pray for you in the spirit. And she said, I saw as if you were surrounded by men and they were beating you up. And I began to pray and intercede in the spirit, and God dispelled that. Folks, that's what the Spirit does. Years ago, a missionary that came and ministered here told how while he was traveling on the mission field in another country, training leaders, his wife and children were back alone at the mission compound. And one night, a group of men, knowing that he was gone, planned to attack the compound, rape his wife, kill his family, and rob all the equipment and finances on the compound. They had cut the large chain and lock on the outer fence, and they were trying to break down the door with a battering ram, when suddenly they dropped their tools and fled. When he came home, his wife told him what had happened. Thankfully, they were safe. Later, they were holding a campaign in that area, and one of the men that tried to break in that night got saved. And he testified how they had tried to break into the compound, what they were intending to do. That's how they learned what their intentions were. And he said, and as we were about to break down the door of the house, he said, a truck of soldiers drove up at that very moment. We dropped our tools and we fled. And he said, I didn't know you had soldiers on the mission compound. And the missionary said, we don't. Hallelujah. The missionary was sharing the story in one of his supporting churches when he had come back to the United States. And after the service, a woman asked him, she said, on what date and at what time did that take place? And she testified that on that very night, at 3 a.m. in her time, which was the same time, if you do the transition, that this attack was happening, the Holy Spirit awakened her to pray for this family, this missionary family. And she didn't know why, but she just started to pray in the Spirit. The Spirit was just praying with her, through her in tongues at the exact time that the attack was happening on the other side of the world. And God sent a supernatural truck of soldiers. Hallelujah. To dispel this band of criminals. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does through us. So don't ask, do I need to speak in tongues? Say, Lord, thank you so much for the gift of tongues. May I never take it for granted. Hallelujah. The reason why praying in the Spirit is so important is that the Spirit is the only one who knows the mind and heart of God. Romans 8:27 says, and he searches the heart and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind and heart of God. He knows exactly what needs to be prayed in any situation. And he's even able to pray through us God's will for situations that we don't even have any current knowledge of. He's able to pray through us. We need this wonderful blessing of praying in other tongues. Praying in tongues is also Spirit-inspired praise. And it enables us to worship God in a manner that he is worthy of. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, we are flesh. And when we keep trying to communicate to him in flesh, it's like speaking another language to someone who doesn't understand it. Not that God doesn't understand, he understands all things. But we're sort of at an impasse. And we can feel the limitation. We can feel the hindrance. We sit there after a while and we're like, praise you, hallelujah. One, two. We start counting ceiling tiles. Glory to God. Oh, the pastor just said to say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You know, and after a while, we're all worshiped out. But when the Spirit is inspiring your worship, there is this free flow. The Holy Spirit is like an interpreter.
Yes.
That quickens us and supernaturally lifts us above the limitations of the fleshly realm and enables us to communicate directly with the heart of God. Hallelujah. He frees us from our fleshly limitations, and suddenly we're lifted into a higher and fuller realm of praise, of blessing, of adoration, of thanksgiving. You know, I remember before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you look at Pentecostal people and you think, man, they're crazy. Look at that one lifting their hand. Why all these people have so many questions? Everybody lifting their hand. Or somebody's down here dancing and we're like, that's crazy. Dancing in church. Now, we didn't mind dancing in the disco.
Right.
But if somebody's dancing for the Lord, there's something wrong with it.
Come on, Pastor. It's anointed.
Hallelujah. But you know what? For years, I was in a traditional denomination. And that traditional denomination was sit down, stand up, you know, do some gyration, sit down, stand up, say this, repeat that. It was dead. It was lifeless. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the life of God began to flow inside of me. Hallelujah! Woo! I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade the privilege of speaking in tongues for all the money in the world. Someone has said that tongues is the vehicle of praise par excellence for glorifying God. Hallelujah. Folks, the only reason you would ask, do I need to speak in tongues to go to heaven? It's because you have not yet experienced the wonderful privilege of the blessing of speaking in other tongues. Because someone who has experienced it would never ask that question. So I encourage you, if you have not yet received it, come and say, God, give it to me. You promised it. You said I need it. So Lord, I want it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fifthly and finally, praying in the Spirit opens us up to be a vessel that God can use supernaturally. Praying in tongues puts us in a place of being more sensitive and yielded to the Spirit's promptings and guidance. See, as we pray in the Spirit, our spirit, our human spirit, is coming in tune with His Spirit. And as we are in tune with His Spirit, He can more readily flow through us. He can flow through us in any of the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, whether it's prophecy or it's miracles or it's healing or it's tongues and interpretation or it's faith. And all of those gifts are intended to minister to others. They are intended for edifying the church, for building up the church, and they're also intended for evangelizing the lost.
Yes, God.
Most of the miracles Jesus did, and He did all of His miracles by the power of the Spirit. He was anointed of the Spirit. Most of the miracles Jesus did were not inside of a synagogue or inside of the temple. They were outside in the highways and the byways among the unbelievers. Folks, these gifts are God's supernatural means to build up the body of Christ and to reach the lost. And when those gifts operate properly through us, it strengthens the body. And God is made manifest to the unbeliever. We need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because it makes us more effective for the kingdom of God. So if we ask, do I need to speak in tongues to go to heaven? The answer is no, but you're not going to be all that useful to God here on earth. So He might as well take you to heaven. It's strong, but it's true. Because our concern should not be, how can I get to heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin? Our concern should be, God, I want You to use me, and I can't do it in my own strength. So God, give me Your Holy Spirit. I need Your Spirit. I love you, whoever you are that asked that question, but I got to speak the truth.
Keep it real, make it plain.
The more we pray in the Spirit, the more we open ourselves up to be used of God supernaturally. So let me encourage everyone here. Press in. And receive the fullness of all that God has for you. Don't see how you can get to heaven with the least that God has for you. Press in for everything God has for you. And enjoy the wonderful benefits of the God-given gift of speaking in tongues. If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, like Paul, that every time you pray, you would pray in the Spirit and with the understanding. Every time you worship, you would pray in the Spirit and with the understanding. Let that flow be fresh in your life. Attune your spirit regularly to His Spirit. And if you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you this wonderful blessing of speaking in tongues and empower you so that you can be useful for His kingdom. And it's not hard to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All it requires is thirst. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All it requires is asking, asking. Jesus said, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? And in the preceding verses, He said, everyone who keeps on asking shall receive. Everyone who keeps on seeking shall find. And everyone who keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. So don't just ask once and get discouraged. Don't just come to this altar one or two times and give up. But keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when you come to this altar, after you ask, just begin to praise Him right out loud. Praise Jesus right out loud. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit would be given when Jesus is glorified. When Jesus is lifted up. Of course, it initially spoke of Him being lifted up on the cross, but it also has application to the fact that when we glorify Christ, when we worship Christ, that is the environment in which the Holy Spirit comes to move. So begin to praise Jesus right out loud, and do it right out loud so that when the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you, you'll be able to speak right out loud what the Holy Spirit is giving you. If you're like this, the Holy Spirit's not going to pry your jaws open and force you to speak. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, very, very soft, very gentle. So begin to pray right out loud, praise Jesus right out loud. And then as you begin to feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit, don't worry that it may sound, you know, like nonsense to you. Oftentimes, if you hear somebody speaking in another language that you don't understand, it'll sound like nonsense to you. But that doesn't mean it's not a language. So don't worry about what it sounds like. Whatever you feel the Spirit prompting you, you just begin to speak it out and let God begin to flow through you by His Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, but more than that, I thank you for the wonderful blessing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the blessing of speaking in other tongues, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that ever since I was 11 years old, I have been able to walk in this wonderful blessing in my life. Father, it is my heart's desire that every person in this room would know the wonder of this great blessing that you have given us, that no one would question whether it's necessary or not, but everyone would say, it's so wonderful. Why would you not want it?